right. The title of today's message is, Do You Want to Get Better? Do you want to get better? The title comes from, or is inspired by, our text today. Let's read together. John chapter 5, we're going to start from verse 1 and end with verse 9. Again, we are reading John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. This is the word of God. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. So this is an area where a lot of sick people would gather. And according to history, the reason why the sick people would gather in this area was because there was the pool, as we just read. And they believed that every once in a while, an angel would come from heaven and touch the waters. And so if you saw the waters move, that was a sign that the angel touched the water. And if you got into the water, if you got into the pool fast enough, you would be healed. So that was the belief. Verse 5. Now, there was a person there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, Do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Jesus asked him, Do you want to get well? He says, Man, I've been trying to get into that water, but I can't do it. And in fact, other people cut in front of me. Nobody helps me. Verse 8. And then Jesus said to him, Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. And the day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And all of God's people said, Amen, amen. That's a good day at church. You can go to church and a guy who's been paralyzed for 38 years gets healed. Amen. So, the key word today is that word better, better. And I get it from the text with Jesus' question. Now, the wording in the Bible is this. Jesus asks this man, Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? You're sick. Do you want to get well? And growing up in the States, the word better, we would use the word better in association with sickness and overcoming sickness. For example, we would ask somebody if they were sick, you would ask them, you know, how are you feeling? Are you feeling any better? You know, are you doing better? And so I think it's not too much of a stretch of the imagination to believe that what Jesus is asking this guy in another way is that he's asking this guy, Do you want to get better? Do you want to get better? Right? You're sick now. Do you want to stop being sick? Do you want to get well? Do you want to get better? Now, the reason why I'm focusing on this word is because I've been praying for you. I've been praying for our church for a while, and a few months ago, I felt like God highlight this word better. And ever since then, I've been praying that for our church. And along the way, I felt like God wanted me to focus on that word and this theme here at the beginning of the new year. And so I thought this would be a great way to start or end 2023 and start 2024 by sharing this message about better. And I think that word better can mean a lot of things. You know, when you say better, it's relative to, like, you know, from one condition, you're getting better. You know, it could be progressive. It could also mean something that is like the best, right? Oh, I got something better. You know, I got something totally way more awesome. I've got the best thing for you. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to explore and try to be led by the Spirit as to what God wants to say through this word better. But today, I wanted to share one of the first things that I felt like God put on my heart for you. And it is this: things are going to get better. Amen. I pray that for you. I declare that to you in faith. I believe God is saying to you, our church, especially for 2024, things are going to get better. I believe things are going to get better for you. I believe things are going to go to a new level. I believe you're going to go higher, deeper, and wider with Jesus in 2024. I declare by faith, things are going to get better. Amen. What things? All kinds of things. You know, I think God has a very special plan for each and every one of us. And so this word things can mean different things for different people. You know, I think it could mean that things, your job, you know, perhaps your job situation, your job circumstance, maybe you don't even have a job, you'll find a job. It could be that God is speaking to. Maybe it's about relationships. Maybe it's about your marriage. Maybe it's about your friendships. Those are going to get better. Perhaps it's maybe your mental well-being or emotional well-being or your spiritual development. Maybe those are the things that are going to get better. Perhaps it's your relationship with God. Your faith is going to get better. Your passion, your commitments, your walk with God is going to grow deeper, higher, and wider. You're going to know God better by the end of 2024. Amen. You're going to walk with God even closer in 2024. So I believe it can mean any of these things, and I'm believing for all of these things for all of you. Amen. Things are going to get better, and they're going to get better in all kinds of ways. Amen. If you believe that, if you need that, if you know somebody who needs that, if you want to pray that, not just for yourself, but for your family and friends, put an amen in the chat, or in better yet, put the word better in the chat right now. Better. We believe for better in 2024. No matter how good it was in 2023, I'm believing for better things for you in 2024. God's got something better for you in 2024. And if 2023 wasn't great, then this is really good news. Hallelujah. Things are going to get better in 2024 in this next season, because that's the kind of God we serve. We are the God of, we love and we believe in the God of better. This is the heart of God. The Bible says that God is unto us like a father like you have never seen, like the world has never experienced. He is the perfect father. He is the father of all fathers. And yet we can relate to him and catch a glimpse of him through our earthly relationships and earthly concepts of fathers. That's why he uses that. And just like in the natural, we know, even if we haven't had great fathers in our own lives, we know that a good father wants good things for his children. Amen. A good father will always want things to get better for his kids. He wants better things for them. He wants to make things better. He hopes life gets better for them. And in fact, he also would want them to become better. And so I believe that's the kind of God we serve and believe in. He is the Father who always wants something better for you. He wants to make things better for you, and he wants to help you and empower you to become better. Don't believe me? Let's go to the Word of God, because this is why I am so confident in this message, because this is what we see in Scriptures, the heart of God for better. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 Corinthians 3:18 in the NIV. Sorry, I'm jumbling over my words because I'm so amped up. Verse 18, it says this: "And we all of us, all the children of God, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory." We talked about meditation. We focus our eyes on him. "We are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Other translations will say God is changing us from glory to glory, from one level to the next level, from one level to a greater level. In other words, it is God who wants and does the work of making us better. He's saying, I'm transforming you and changing you, molding you into the image of my son more and more. You are going to get better. This is the heart of God. Amen. 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 You know, he's like a good coach. I was watching this video of this basketball player. His name is Jalen Brunson. I think he plays for the Knicks. And there's this video of when he was a kid and his dad was coaching him, helping. Right now, I think he's killing it. He's doing really well in the NBA from what I've heard. And they trace it back to how his dad was just a great coach. And now, I only saw one clip. So we all know media, you can't believe everything or, you know, take it too far. But in the clip, at least, you know, you just see his dad, just a great coach, encouraging him, challenging him, and just wanting to help, do everything he can to help his son become better. Amen. That's God. That's God. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 is talking about. He is that kind of father. Amen. Another verse, Haggai chapter 2, verse 9. Some of you are like, I've never even heard of that book of the Bible. Yep, there is a book in the Bible called Haggai. We want to read from it right now. Chapter 2, verse 9. It says this, the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. So he's saying, this house is going to be better than that house. This house right now is going to be better than it was before. Now, the word house, I believe here, is referring to the people of God, the body of Christ, the church of God. And he's saying what you were under the old covenant, under the law, right? We are going to the next level. We are going to bring you into something better. And you are going to become a new people under the new covenant. You're going to become the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, and the glory that you're going to have now is going to be better than before. Hallelujah. How many believe the blood of Jesus, the gospel, the cross, gives us a greater glory than what the law can do? This is why we live by faith in Christ through grace. Amen. And not through the law. Haggai chapter 2, verse 9 again. That's what we just read. Moving on to Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, verse 38. It says, give, and it will be given to you. Sorry, let me do something here really quick. Luke chapter 6, verse 38 again. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Notice he uses the word measure, not the amount. The measure meaning what kind of spirit and essence and heart and principle by which you give it. Are you giving with generosity and with grace? Or are you giving stingy? But with the measure you use, doesn't matter how much it is, but with the measure and the spirit you use, it will be measured to you. Now look at this. Talking about better, he says, whatever you give, it will be given unto you, but it's not going to come back the same. It's going to come back to you better, right? It's going to come back in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing, running over. You gave this much, it's going to come back overflowing. Come on, somebody. As we like to believe, you cannot outgive God. Whatever you give to God in faith, when you give your time and your talents and your treasure to Him and the kingdom of God, whatever you use to serve others, come on, in the name of Jesus, you cannot outgive God. God says it's going to come back to you even better. Amen. God is not a taker. He is a giver of better things. Amen. This is why it's so good to give your life to Jesus. Sometimes there's a bad, negative sort of concept or understanding of what it doesn't mean that God wants us to surrender and give our lives to Him, like He's some kind of king and master demanding, you know, obedience from slaves and servants. And God's like, no, I want you to give me your life so I can give you a better life, so I can make it better. Whatever you give unto me, I will bless and multiply and make it better. Or in fact, I'll even make it completely new and replace it. Amen. Miraculously, by his power, by his grace, you cannot outgive God. Amen. Amen. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it says this: the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Talking about the enemy and the spirit of this world. Now, side note, I want to do a really quick side note because I want you to know your word. You know, when the Bible talks about or uses the word world, you know, it uses it differently in different places. So when the Bible says, for God so loved the world, it's talking about how God loves people. But in another verse, it says, do not love the world, right? And so it's talking about the worldly system and values and the spirit of this world, amen? So here, Jesus, when he came into this world, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. And he says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So the enemy, he comes to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you, all of us, may have life and have it to the full. In other words, he's saying, I've come to give you something better. I've come to make your life better, or in fact, I have come to make or give you a whole completely better life. The old is gone and the new has come. And so dare I say it, dare I believe it, in one sense, we can say the reason why Jesus came and died and rose again was so that he could give you something better, so that he can make you better, so that he can make life better. I have come to give life and life to the full. He didn't die so that you could stay the same, so you could be stuck in depression, so that you could be stuck in sin, so that you could be stuck in being lost and confused, be stuck in living a purposeless life, a joyless life. He didn't come so that you could be stuck living a servant life, living like a slave, living without relationship with God. No, God said, I've come to give you life. I've not come so that you can just be servants. I've come. I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Hallelujah. And you're going to enjoy all the benefits of friendship with God. You're going to enjoy all the benefits of sonship and daughtership with the living God. He said, I've come. I've come to make things better. And this is why. I believe for you, and I can pray with confidence, that in 2024, come on, your season is coming. God says things are going to get better, and I believe it. Do you believe it too? Do you believe it too? If you believe it, or if you're going to try to believe with me, put it in the chat. I believe. Or just put the word believe or believe it, whatever works for you. I believe. Amen? Now, there is something really important that you must do if you're going to walk in the better things of God. And that is this: do not focus on the wrong thing. It can be so easy to hear God say to us, I am planning better things for you. I have better things for you in 2024. And immediately, there could be this possibility or this temptation to start focusing on the wrong things. Now, focus is so important for so many reasons. And when it comes to faith, the things that you focus on become the basis, the foundation, or the roots of your faith. I'll say that again. The things that you focus on become the basis of your faith, the basis of your expectation, and the basis of your confidence. Let's use the Israelites as an example because they are an easy target always when it comes to this kind of thing. So, as a lot of us know, God said, hey, I've got something better for you, Israelites. Right now, you are in slavery in Egypt. So, yeah, that's a bummer. That sucks. And I've got such a better plan, a better life for you. I'm going to bring you out by a mighty hand. I'm going to deliver you, and I'm going to bring you into your own land. So instead of being slaves, you will be masters of your own domain. This was God's will. He made it clear. I've got something better for you, my people, my children. And the crazy thing is, when God was trying to give them something better, they ended up wanting to go back to what was worse. Right as they were about to enter better, as they were about to enter the promised land, they started complaining. They started saying this crazy stuff. Crazy talk came out of their mouth, and they were like, "We want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back to Egypt. I want to go back. I just want things to stay the same. I just want to go back to what I'm used to. I want to stay in my comfort zone." They wanted to go back to Egypt. And the reason for this is very simple. It's because they focused on the wrong thing. They focused on, number one, bad circumstances. And then, number two, they focused on themselves. More so, they focused on their inability. They focused on what they could and could not do. So they said, look, there are giants there. So these are not circumstances that are conducive to life getting better for us. If we go into the promised land, things will get worse for us, not better. We will be killed. They will stomp us to the ground. We are like grasshoppers to them. The circumstances are not right. The situation is not right. We need the situation to change in order for life to get better for us. And so they focused on that. And then number two, they were focusing on themselves. We can't beat these guys. Hey, we just got out of Egypt. And that, we just barely got out. We are just slaves. We're not warriors. We're not fighters. We can't take on these giants, even if we were warriors. I mean, look at these guys. They would crush us. And so they focused on the wrong thing. And that became the basis of their faith, right? Can we do this? No, we can't. Can life get better? No, it cannot. Why? Because that's their expectation. That was the basis of their confidence, the thing that they continually focused on. So brothers and sisters, in 2024, you got to try. You got to do all that you can. You've got to pray for it, train yourself in it. And even if you fail over and over again, we must be determined to grow in controlling our focus so that we do not focus on the wrong thing, but we focus on the right thing. Now, this is the same thing that almost happened to the sick man in our story today. When Jesus came to this man, this invalid, this paralyzed man, this paralytic, Jesus asked him a question. Do you want to get well? And immediately, it's like it's human nature. Immediately as he, you know, it's like you get your hopes up, but then all these negative ideas, you know, these negative thoughts come into your mind. And so, do you want to get better? Oh, well, I've been trying, man. I've been trying. Every time the water is stirred, I'm doing all that I can. But look at me. I'm paralyzed. I'm an invalid. I'm a paralytic. Whatever it is that was, you know, wrong with his body, it was keeping him from being able to get into the water himself. And then he says, I can't do it. And nobody's helping me. My circumstance and situation is this. There are other people who are cunning in front of me, and people who are selfish, and people are not paying attention to me, and they go in first and they push me out of the way. It's kind of like Black Friday, you know, shopping when everybody's rushing in and it's like, stampede! You know what I mean? And it's like, I just have no hope in these circumstances and the situation, and he's focusing on the wrong thing. But here's the good news. Here's the good news, all right? So as we, amen, Joyful City, come on, people of God, as we believe God for better in 2024, here's what you got to know. Number one, when it comes to better with God, when it comes to God's better, number one, it's not about circumstances. It never has been. It never will be. It's not about circumstances. Your God is above and beyond all circumstances. Amen. He is above and beyond all circumstances and situations, no matter what they may be, no matter how opposite they are to producing good fruit. You could take the Son of God and crucify him, and yet God will come through. God will overcome. God will make something good come out of something bad. He works all things together for good because God is above and beyond circumstances and situations. Amen. He doesn't need for you to be in the best circumstance in order for him to make life better for you, right? Look at the life of Joseph. Look at the life of Joseph. Joseph was in prison and his situation was very dire. He was labeled with, you know, one of the worst labels a man can carry. And of course, falsely, he was labeled as someone who had tried to rape, not just any woman, but the wife of a very high ranking person in Egypt. And now he's in the prison and he's in this situation. And what's amazing is that God didn't have to make the situation better in order to make Joseph's life better. What do I mean? You know, God didn't remove the prison from Joseph's life. In fact, God blessed Joseph in and through the prison. You see what I'm saying? So our tendency is to think, okay, if life is going to get better, if I'm going to get better, God, you need to take this prison away. You got to get me out of here. But think of that. Had God removed the prison, changed the situation, put Joseph in a more better ideal situation, then none of what happened would have happened. He would never have met the cupbearer. He would have never met the baker. He would never have interpreted their dreams. He would never have gotten to Pharaoh. He would never have met Pharaoh and interpreted his dreams. And then he would never have become basically the most powerful guy in all of the most powerful nation at the time, you know, the governor of Egypt. But all that happened because, not because his circumstance changed, no, but God met him in the prison. God used what was happening in the prison. And so God made Joseph better. He made his life better despite the circumstances, in and through the circumstances. That's the kind of God we serve. Amen. Amen. So many people believe God, and that's good. It's basic. God, you can change my situation. Well, let's go deeper. Let's have better faith in 2024. God, not only can you make my situation better, but you can still bless me even in bad situations. God, you can work out good things even in poor circumstances. Even if these circumstances don't change, you can bless me. You can make things better in and through the prisons of life. Amen. Amen. And number two, God's better. Like when God wants to make things better, God's better is not about our ability. Again, it never has been and it never will be. It's not about us. It's all about him. So again, the crippled man, the invalid, immediately he goes to his own ability or his inability. He focuses on that. He focuses on what he can do, what he couldn't do. He looks at the history. He's like, man, I've tried and I have failed. And he's thinking, yeah, you know, I don't think I can do it. I cannot make myself. I've been trying. And the subtle thing that's happening, what he's really saying subtly, is that he's thinking, I've got to make myself better. I've got to make myself better. And I think that's what a lot of people do. A lot of Christians do. The New Year's resolutions. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But come on, here's the beauty of the gospel. It's not about doing it yourself. And it's not about doing it for God. The gospel is that we are now, we are given this amazing opportunity to do everything with God. With God. See, when Jesus asks this guy, do you want to get better? What Jesus is really asking, he's not asking, hey, can you try harder? You know, can you do better? Can you do better in making yourself better? What he's saying is, do you want me to make you better. Jesus is asking him, you don't get it yet, but you will in a minute. But what I'm really asking you, what I'm really offering you is this. Do you want me to make you better? Do you want to get better together with me? Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Come on. We can get excited. We can build our conviction and put our faith in this, that I can believe that things are going to get better in 2024 because it's not just me, it's God in me, God with me, God for me. He'll do it for you if you can't do it for yourself, amen. He'll give you the conviction, he'll give you the direction, he'll give you the opportunity, he'll make it happen one way or another if we are willing to come to him, humble ourselves, and say, yes, God, I want to get better. Now, again, that question that Jesus asks him, do you want to get well? Do you want to get better? We have to keep in mind that this guy, the Bible says that he's been an invalid for 38 years. For 38 years. You could say he's been trying to get better. He's been wanting to get better for 38 years. He's been trying, doing all that he can, and without any change, without any fruit, and he's still stuck in this sickness for 38 years. And so with that in mind, I think what Jesus is asking him is this. Do you still want to get better? Do you still want it? After all these years, I want to know, do you still want it? Do you still want it? Brothers and sisters, your desire, the desires of your heart, is very important to God. The desires of your heart are very important to God. In fact, I believe that there is a very close connection to desire and faith. Sometimes this is what faith is. Faith is persevering desire. Faith is persevering desire. Even if I can't do anything else, even if I fail again and again, I try and I try and I fail time and time again. Do you still want it though? Do you still want to overcome that addiction? Do you still want to become better? Do you still want to grow closer to God? Do you still want to pursue that dream and the calling of God for your life? Do you still want it? I'm not asking, can you? I'm not asking you for your resume. I'm not asking for what's happened. And I don't care about whether you failed over and over again. I'm asking you, do you still want it? That's the grace of God. That is the wonderful, beautiful grace of God, that when I am weak, he is strong. In my weakness, his power is made perfect. When all I've got is 5 bread and 2 fish and 2 pennies, when all that I have left is just desire, and even then, sometimes my desire is so weak because it's been so long, God. It's been such a long, disappointing, painful road. And God says, yeah, I know it's hard. I know it's been hard. And I'm not going to ask you for anything else. I just want to know this. Do you still want it? The Bible says that man looks on the outside, but God, he looks at our hearts. Faith is a commitment to desire. Not a commitment to circumstance, not a commitment to ability, not a commitment to our good works. No, those are good. But above all that, when it comes to faith, it is about a commitment, a trust that God sees our hearts. Amen. That God sees our hearts. And the Bible says that if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desire of your heart. It doesn't say the fruit of your labor, not a reward for all your works. No, he says, I'll give you the desire of your heart, the desire of your heart. You will be closer to me. You will know me more. You'll be changed to be more like me. You will walk in your calling and destiny, right? I will give you the desires of your heart when you fix your eyes on me. Amen. Amen. Do you want to get better? And it's all about this commitment to desire. And so as we end, as we close, I want to talk about this commitment to desire, committing the new year, committing 2024. If you're watching this in 2025, 2026, it applies for all times because the word of God is timeless. But committing 2024 right now for us to God in this, in the theme of desire. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you say, "God, I want this to become better. I want that to become better." All these things will be added unto you. So if you really desire for things to get better with God, then it's simple. Put God first. Put God first. All right. And so here are three ways we could do that. Number one, put God himself first. Number two, put the things of God first. And number three, put the ways of God first. Okay, so here's how we can put God first and our desire for better things in and through God. Number one, put God himself first. What I mean is that we want to put our relationship with God first. We want to put God on the throne of our hearts, put him at the center of our life. We want to put him before anything and everything, knowing him, growing in love with him, so that when we pray and we worship, we read a word, it's not we're looking for the blessing of his hand. You know, so a lot of people, they get this mixed up, you know, like other religions preach rewards like, oh, if you believe in this God and you serve this God and you die and you go to whatever their heaven is, you're going to have all these wives and gold and houses and things like that. And that's nice. But when Jesus talks about reward, what he's really talking about is himself. You know, there's a verse where it says, "I am your great reward," right? So yes, we're going to go to, you know, the heaven, you know, heaven says, you know, they say, the Bible says that heaven is, you know, that gold is used for pavement, you know, in heaven. And so it's going to be great. God has a house. He says, in my Father's house there are many rooms. But don't get it twisted. The great reward is God himself. Put God first. First love. First love. The Bible talks about having a first love, putting God first above all things. And so, God, when I pray, it's not first for me. It's not what I can get from you, but God, it is to get more of you. Hallelujah. It is to glorify you. God, I'm seeking your face first and not your hand. Amen. Now, it's okay to seek his hand, of course, always. That's what God wants. But when it comes to our heart and our spirit, we will always want to set and calibrate our life throughout the year because it always gets away. And we can always come back and say, God, but I know I'm asking you for all these things, but God, I put you first. May you always be first in my heart. So number one, put God himself first. Number two, put the things of God first. Put the things of God. Seek first the kingdom. So we must put the kingdom of God, the purposes of the kingdom of God, building up the kingdom of God, the things that God has on his heart, we must put that first in our lives. God's dreams must come before our dreams. God's vision must come before our vision. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have your own dreams and visions. It just means in all the dreams and visions that you have, God's dreams and visions must be at the center. It must be the core. It must be the very DNA of our dreams and visions. Every calling from God is geared towards God's dreams and God's vision. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish. He wants to save all souls. He wants to expand his kingdom. He tells us, go and make disciples of all nations. And so if he's called you to be an engineer or a teacher or a stay-at-home mom, it is with this passion and desire that in my vision, yes, I've got a vision to be a great mom, but it is for the dream of God that my dream exists. It is for the vision of God that my vision exists. Put the things of God first. Amen. And number three, put the ways of God first. Put his ways before your ways, his ways before your parents' ways, before your culture's ways, society's ways. We put God's ways first. So Jesus tells this guy, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And God was defying through that simple command, Jesus was defying a lot of things, right? The cultural and religious norms of that time, Jesus was going against that because at that time they believed that God's rule of the Sabbath meant you cannot heal on the Sabbath, which was all twisted. They got it wrong. And so Jesus was like, nope, not your religious ways. No, my gospel ways. Amen. Not your religious ways, my ways. Get up, pick up your mat and walk. Right. And of course, it also means that this guy was saying, okay, I've been trying to do this. I've been trying to do that. And Jesus saying, okay, you've been trying it to do it your way. How about we try it my way? Amen. Stop trying to do it your way. In that sense, doing it by your own strength, the strength of your own human mind and understanding and wisdom and efforts. No, put your effort towards something better. Amen. Do it my way. Put God's way first. That can mean we put God's timing before our timing. I want this to happen this time and this to happen then. By the time I'm 30, I got a job and I'm married. And by the time I'm 35, got a career and all this kind of stuff. Well, putting God's ways first could mean, well, maybe you don't get married that time. Maybe it's sooner. Maybe it's later. Maybe these things happen at a different time. Put God's ways first. Amen. So this includes the basics of prayer. Put prayer first. Worship. Put worship first. Bible, church, fellowship with other believers, right? Sunday service. Come on, right? These are the basic tools that God, he works through. These are the ways of God. He works through prayer. He works through worship. He works through the Bible. He works through the church. And so we got to put God's ways first. Prioritize them. Amen. Take them real serious. Take them real serious, right? You know, it's just, you see so many times people treat the things of God like a hobby. You know, I won't get into all that, but yeah, let's put God first. Amen. Amen. Come on. Amen. All right. Amen. Thank you guys so much. Why don't we go to the Lord?